And in particular, I've got on with me Matt Nugent. He is a graduate from West Point from 1996. Yeah, he's a lot younger than me. Well, a little bit younger. He majored in Russian and minored in systems engineering. He was a student ambassador to the Soviet Union in high school in 89 during the Cold War before the Berlin Wall fell. I know that was impactful on him as it was with me. I didn't go to Russia, but I did go to Germany and went through Checkpoint Charlie. It really made an impact. And he actually, he was an engineer officer, served at Fort Bragg in an airborne unit. He went to airborne school, ranger school, and sapper school. And he spent 11 years in service. He is a founding member of the West Point Society of West Point graduates and a board member and vice president for donor relations with the West Point Society, the MacArthur Society. And he also owns his own business. Love that. He's been married to his wife for 25 years and they have three teenage children. Matthew, thank you for coming to my program. Thanks for being on.
Hey, Jeannie. It is an honor to be here. Thank you, Jeannie.
Yeah, so, you know, you and I are aligned in that we do see that the academies have gotten a little bit far afield of their original mission and their original intent. I mean, we grew up with duty, honor, country. They have stripped that from the honor, from the mission statement in at West Point, although it wasn't in ours either. They did strip it from it even after they put it in. And then unbelievable to me, and I found my cadet hat, which is in my office, and I didn't know this, but they took duty, honor, country off of the emblem, the shield that's on the cadet hats. What is going on?
Did they really?
Yes.
Tell you. Well, I tell you what, I'm a member of the MacArthur Society, just like you, that 90 to 95% of all that they do is great. Or better than when I went and you went, the facilities, the training, the opportunities. And the cadets at West Point still remain a remarkable group with unquestionable devotion to the academy, the army, and the nation. But like you mentioned, there are some serious problems that have arisen, especially relating to cultural Marxism. Because when you look at these points, you know, removal of duty on our country, a whole bunch of other things, if you look at just one item at a time or one issue, you're not going to see the big picture. And I will tell you this, okay? MacArthur Society is stepping in. People are kind of depressed. What's going on? Who's going to do something? We are, and we are. And now we're doing it because, like a cancer or black mold, a little cultural Marxism can metastasize and destroy an institution or an entire country or West Point, okay? So, but when we look at this discussion for you, for your listeners, you have to look at it through the lens of warfare, okay? Now, this one particular event, it was a big dinner. The superintendent was speaking to us, and, you know, it's incredible. There's a place called Washington Hall. It's incredible. They can feed 5,000, up to 5,000 people in 20 minutes. So I was a junior at the time when this speech was given by the superintendent, who's a three-star general. You know, by the time you're junior, you kind of have your feet underneath you. You feel pretty confident. But during this speech, the superintendent said, West Point is a high-value target for the enemy. And that was kind of shocking. This was before 9/11 because I, you know, graduated in 96. And we as Americans, don't often think of the enemy going kinetic offensively on American soil. So I started thinking, how would they kill us with the bomb, with the poison? How would the enemy get us? Because if the enemy took out the entire West Point Corps of Cadets, all 4,000 of us, that would hurt the Army's future leadership. Flash where today is. It's a different type of warfare. Okay, a lot of warfare against the United States has different names. I'll just start with non-kinetic. It's called information warfare, unrestrained warfare, psychological warfare. We as Americans, I mean, you and I both grew up watching World War II movies, tanks, guns, air power. Now, flashback, this is a little bit of military history for everybody, okay? After World War I, the French created what's called the Maginot Wall, an intricate build of defense against Germany. So when World War II came about, what did they just do? They just went around it. It is very difficult to beat the United States from its borders, so what are they doing it? Going from the inside out. And how do they do it? Non-kinetically, through Marxism, okay?
Well, let's just just looking at the MacArthur Society website, MacArthurSociety.org, for those who are interested. The lead homepage says, "I'm concerned for the security of our great nation, not so much because of any threat from without, but because of the insidious forces working from within." That is a quote from General Douglas MacArthur, who famously gave the duty, honor, country speech on the poop deck of the mess hall as his last speech before he passed away, prominent speech rather. So, I mean, this is, you're talking about, when we take an oath as an officer, it's against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And you're getting to the point where you're saying that there are, forces at work to diminish the ethos, the warrior ethos that we have had and we grew up with in the military. And that is a real threat. This is a threat. I think, rather than going down that path, which is really dark, and I mean, it's something that needs to be looked into. There's so many other obvious problems with the academies at this point, when collectively you look at them together and you're like, this is just essentially higher education progressivism infiltrating the military academies, the premier institutions that are set the standards. And I'm not, look, my son's an ROTC graduate. I know a lot of other ROTC graduates, fabulous, fabulous officers. Not a problem. But West Point, the Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, they set the standards for officership in the broader environment and then broader military environment. And when that is eroded, as it has been with honor code, there's been a slackening of standards when it comes to honor code. They have all these give back years. You violate the honor code when we were in, you're out. If it's a clear violation, you're out. Now there's all these give backs where you can go ahead and repeat a year. It just seems to be an erosion both on the honor code and quite frankly, I mean, why would West Point have a
Beyond
divert?
country.
Why would they have a diversity minor at West Point? Why?
And
We're a
that's the question.
meritocracy. If anything's a meritocracy, we have to be have the best in charge.
Yeah, you talked about so much important. There's a lot for us to unpack there. So the most important thing, what makes West Point and the other two service academies special and exceptional, is the honor code. Okay, now, for those of you who have never heard the honor code, this is it: the West Point Cadet Honor Code. A cadet will not lie, cheat, steal, or tolerate those who do. Without the honor code, West Point would simply be an expensive liberal arts college with fancy uniforms. There are at least two major issues the MacArthur Society is addressing at West Point relating to the honor code. Okay, so now this is a quote from the West Point board meeting. They call it the Board of Visitors. Just move the word out, visitors, and put directors, like board of directors. In 2023, the superintendent said he was, quote, reviewing the honor code to make it more aspirational in nature, unquote. And that's from the official minutes. Now, let's paint a picture here and contrast code versus aspiration. One is to live by, one is to try. It's a rhetorical question. Who do you want leading your sons and daughters in battle? Someone who will live honorably or someone who will try?
We now return to the real story. Here's your host, Jeannie Ives.
All right, let's get right back into this conversation we're having with Matthew Nugent, also a West Point graduate. And we're talking about the MacArthur Society. It's a society that was formed essentially to, as a group of alumni, to look at what's going on at the academies. There's a lot of good coming out of it. Hey, my son just graduated from there. I think he's great. There's a lot of good going on there, but in the wake of so many other things that have been happening, and another group that has really been emphasizing this very well is STARS, that's standing against racism and radicalism in the services. And they've got a fantastic website where they are actually, watching all of this across the services and the academies, bar none. And then there's the Calvert Group, which is the Navy version, the United States, the U.S. Naval Academy's version of MacArthur Society. And again, that's a group of alumni, and they're coming out with a new book shortly that I will be interviewing them about as well. But, you know, this is something that concerns us. When we see standards slip, we should all be concerned as Americans. We should all be concerned. I mean, I told you guys, I'm on a pro-life board, and the Army briefing lists pro-life groups as terrorist organizations. What the hell's going on? It's coming from somewhere. And that's the buck in the Army. Look, you can't hire a general. You grow them. Mm-hmm. There's no battlefield, you know, promotions going on right now. And so if your officership is not aligned with the values of meritocracy and, you know, an honor code that is solid, then you're going to have things like the Afghanistan blowout. Pullout that was a disaster. You're going to have things like, you know, briefings saying that pro-life groups are terrorist organizations. You're going to have stand downs like Lloyd Austin did, and they found nothing. And you're going to have incidences like the Ospreys that are still not back to full operational control. Meanwhile, we're going to send another aircraft carrier to the Mideast, and we don't have enough C-2 pilots to rotate in and out to do those duties. I know, my son's a C-2 pilot. I know about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, Matt, I mean, the heart and core of what we're trying to do here as part of MacArthur Society is to, you know, quite frankly, just make sure that the standards are enforced.
Yeah, I think you make a beautiful analogy that generals are grown, and the fertile soil is West Point, and it's being poisoned with cultural Marxism. And so when you take out or, you know, compromise the honor code, you're poisoning that seed that years on down the line, you know, the superintendent's aspirational policy would be a threat that years down the line will compromise for lethality. But there are other issues, too. So if we have time, there's also, you guys remember the 51, quote unquote, intelligence experts? I'm sure you guys talked about that, Jeannie.
You know, I don't know that I've raised on this show, with, Mike Morrell. Yeah. The instigator of it all, by the way, the one who put the letter together and got the other, intel officers to sign off on it. The former deputy CIA director under Obama, who, again, this is that intel letter that the 51 officers signed saying that Hunter Biden's laptop is likely Russian disinformation. It was completely false, and they knew it. And they could have easily verified that, and they signed off on it. So tell us more about him.
Yeah, so these 51, quote-unquote, intelligence experts, we call them the 51 liars. Well, Michael Morrell is now in a prominent position at West Point. Michael Morrell is now a senior fellow at the Countering Terrorism Center at West Point, or CTC at West Point. Now, this is so shocking. I just am just blown away by this. Now, Jeannie, you got this training too. At West Point, we received honor training. And I know it may sound silly to some people. Tell me what a lie is. But it's actually very important. Well, let me share with you all what are the quote-unquote earmarks of a lie, which are as follows. This is what they taught us at West Point, which is very powerful. Number one is deception. Am I deceiving anybody? Two, would I want to be on the receiving end of this action? And three, is this a partial truth? Now, the letter that Michael Morrell organized described the Hunter laptop as having, quote, all the earmarks of Russian disinformation, like you said. In the media, that's called clever spin. At one point, this is called an attempt to deceive, which is the form of a lie. Michael Morrell knows he lied to the American public. We know he lied to the American public. West Point knows he lied to the American public. West Point should have nothing to do with Michael Morrell. West Point's allowing Michael Morrell to stay in a prominent position sends this message to the United States, the world, and worst, the West Point Corps cadets, this message. West Point leaders believe that is acceptable and even rewarded if you're good enough at it. So what we're doing at the MacArthur Society is bringing this to the attention of the world, okay? And we need to get this changed because this is poisoning the well.
Yeah, no, it's just unbelievable that somebody with that type of record would be affiliated with West Point in any way, even if it's the Combating Terrorism Center. And so hopefully that they rectify that, because that can't be. I mean, it just can't be. He literally wrote that letter. He literally was the one who did it. Anthony Blinken asked him to, and then he complied.
Yes. Yeah.
So they were all in on it, and he should not be. It's such an obvious lie. It was an obvious lie back then. I know there was this whole back and forth whether or not he was still a contract with the CIA. Certainly, though, as the former acting director of the CIA, he had access to that information to essentially know whether or not it was true. And I mean, that's also deceptive, honestly. If you have the ability to find out whether or not this is true, and you understand the political implications of the, you know, 51 of you signing off saying it's Russian disinformation, obviously he knew it was political, obviously. Yes. And he knew he also had access to find out if it was true or not. And he didn't do that. That's also just not being honorable, period. It's just not. And that's the thing. It's like this quibbling stuff, these half measures. You know, people, truthfully, when we went through it, people were afraid of the honor code. Afraid. They embraced it, but they also were like, I gotta keep my eyes down on my paper. I don't want to glance anywhere because somebody will think I'm stealing an answer on a test. I mean, people were seriously nervous
but
about
it. After a while, it becomes part of you.
It does. It does become part of you. Absolutely does.
Let me ask you this. Is one of your greatest fears of waking up one day and realizing, not that you would, but someone calling you a liar or dishonorable?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Hey, Matt, you know what? We only have we've got to go. I'm sorry. We're completely out of time. It's been a great conversation, and we'll have to have you back on as things progress with MacArthur Society. And maybe we can talk about some of their other initiatives. Thank you so much for joining me on The Real Story with Jeannie Ives.